Okay, welcome to the Working Mom breakout. And what this breakout is about, it's written in your description, is we're going to discuss the challenges and issues working moms face. And then with those, how to overcome them. And I have a lovely panel of working moms and their spouses. If your spouse isn't here with you, I think it would be awesome for y'all to listen to this, because a lot of being a successful working mom is successfully communicating through some of those things that can be challenging with that. So each speaker is going to introduce themselves and then kind of cover a different topic. So my name is Robin Rice. And this is the Rice family. We've been here since the very beginning at Watermark. This is my husband, Robbie Rice, and he is the community director here at Watermark. And I'm the marriage and family women's director. So this ministry is called Woven, Working Moms Ministry. And this is one of my little babies. We have three children. They're all grown, Ramey, Riley, and Rhett. We're the R family, and we have been a dual-income family since the beginning. So Robbie's a community director. I'm marriage and family women's director. When the kids were little, I was the associate director at SMU of college ministry, and then Watermark started, and Robbie and I were the college directors then, and then we decided to educate our kids at a private school. And so with that, I felt like I held a sign that said, "We'll work for education." And I got employed at that school. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do at this school. If I have to clean toilets, I'm going to do it for tuition remission. So I didn't clean toilets. I taught Bible. And it was fabulous for 14 years. So I chose to work to educate my kids at a Christian school. So we've been a dual income, and then when my baby graduated, I decided it was time for me to graduate and come back. We feel like Watermark is our first little baby. We helped start this church, and we love it. So I've been back a year and a half, which is really fun. I want to show you our outline, just so you know where we're going. So first of all, the first point we're going to talk through, and our first couple is going to share how important it is for you to know your spouse, okay? Our second point, and our second couple is going to talk about how important it is to know your limits, because we all have different capacities, and we all have different limits. And then our third couple is going to talk about knowing your season and how important it is for that. Then we're going to end with a Q&A, so take out your phones if you would. And go ahead and put this number in your phone, 214-699-6897. And so anytime during the presentation, if you have a question, you can text your question to that number. And maybe you have one specifically, like maybe you have a question for Mike. And so he will answer that question. You could put Mike dash, and he'll answer that question. So now we're going to get started with knowing your spouse. Knowing your spouse.
Hey, y'all. I'm Mike Frizzell. This is my wife, Marisa. We've been married for 19 years. We've been around Watermark since 2005. Just for context on our family, we've got four kids, 12 to 4 and a half, junior high through pre-K. Kindergarten will come very soon, and we're excited about that. And so just to tell you a little bit about our work context, so I'm in leadership at an aerospace and defense firm here in Dallas, a small business, and then my wife.
Yeah, so I'm Marisa, and I'm a pediatric nurse practitioner, and I work part-time at a pediatrician's office in the area, and I've always worked in some capacity since we've had kids, except for 1 year when I stayed at home with two of our kids. We moved overseas for Mike's job. And so work has always been something that has been a topic of discussion with our community group. For a long time, I was the only one in our community group that worked until recently. And so just kind of, do I work? What's the motivation behind work? All of that has constantly been a source of discussion with community.
Yeah, it's great. And so the first point inside of here is just knowing your spouse. And so part of that is knowing your spouse's role just right off the top. So husbands, for the three or four of you that are here and everybody online listening afterwards, just know that you took on the title of father. No pressure, but the God of the universe, when he gave himself a name to how to relate to humans, he also gave himself that same title. And so it is very significant. It's non-trivial in that respect. You not only have a wife that needs to be pursued and cherished, which was the role before, but you also need to live with your wife in an understanding way, providing for family, head of household. Now you have to have this new human in the family that is joined inside of the mix, that is needs your guidance and needs discipline, needs love, it needs your time, your presence, and that mom or that human also has a mom who needs to be encouraged and supported all the way through that process as well.
And so then wives, you know, motherhood is a role that is complete and a noble calling. And when we think about a working mom, you can fall off the horse on two sides. So one is just kind of that lie of feminism, and that the world tells you that your worth is rolled up in what you do, your job title, how much money you're making, your responsibilities, those types of things. And I think, you know, within that also just the lie that that you can do everything that you used to do before you had kids at the same level. Once you add kids in, you can't continue to do everything to the same level that you did before. The other side of the horse that you can fall off of, especially kind of in this, you know, upper middle class bubble that we live in here in Dallas, is just if you choose to work after having kids, then you must be the most horrible mother and like you cannot love Jesus and your children are just going to be, you know, there's just this idea that your children are not going to thrive and you're not going to be a great mom and you can't disciple them well. And that's also a lie.
So as we kind of move from this kind of role position now into the work, you know, you need to know your spouse's work. And so it's both directions here. This is a lot about knowing what is and isn't flexible about work. And the job is highly dependent upon the flexibility associated with it, right? And so in Marisa's work, she has stacks of patients waiting for her, which is fairly inflexible, except she has an office full of other moms who are very understanding that and they work together to achieve in the event that somebody's kid goes down sick. But it's really flexible in the sense that if she knows 3 months in advance that a kid has a particular activity at school or a particular event that needs to occur that she's a part of, she can block her schedule, move the day of the week, again, 3 months in advance. There's varying flexibility inside of that context that is there. Some jobs allow you to go, hey, I can stop my work at 2 o'clock and, you know, knock out the rest of the day after the kids go down at bed if something were to occur in that regard. Some jobs obviously don't allow that kind of flexibility in that respect. And so sometimes, you know, it looks like in our house a lot is if a kid goes down sick, whose day allows somebody to go binge watch TV all day in the other room because somebody can take meetings all day in their room, right? So that is a way that we use each other's flexibility in each other's work environments just to literally make the offense run as a family.
Yeah, Mike's work has looked different over time. He used to work up in McKinney for a long time, and so that was created like a lot of inflexibility as far as like if we had a sick kid or something urgent came up. And then for a season he was on staff here at Watermark, and that, you know, had a lot of flexibility and no travel. And now in his current job he does travel quite a bit, and so that just is a whole nother world that we kind of have to deal with me working. And we've decided just with his current role, because he might need to travel, you know, less than a week's notice or within a couple of days, everything that we commit to as a family, I have to assume that I might have to pull it off solo. That's not the, you know, we don't want to do that all the time, but when we make commitments as a family, I just have to know that that might be something that happens. And if I'm going to have to do that event solo, then where am I going to pull in my resources? Like, who are the people that can come alongside me and help with carpool and those types of things?
And so then just moving from there into just sort of knowing your spouse specifically around here is gifting and capacity. This can come across as a little bit judgmental, and we don't want to come across in that respect. But it's more of a know thyself, right? So being a working mom, I assume most of the people in this room are either striving to or are, you know that it just takes more, right? There are more balls in the air. There are more things to do. There are how do we get the kids to the places and all getting all the trains to run on time? How do we make all that happen? And this is where I get to brag on my wife's capacity in this space, where she is able to, when all of that happens and all of a sudden there's a curveball and now we have one kid not having something, and like weather is her favorite thing. Like when it rains and soccer practice isn't canceled, like the whole world gets canceled, like our lives are like, oh, we get to breathe this afternoon, right? It's awesome. But the rest of the time, it's just a madhouse of who's going where in that regard. And my wife, the charge nurse, comes out, and there are lists, there are delegations, there are tasking, there's this flurry of activity, and we're all going in the same direction, rowing together in order to make the day work. And that's something that in her environment, it doesn't drive her to anxiety and into stress and lockdown, but instead spurs her to action in a way that's
sometimes
really
there's anxiety and stress. Yeah. I hide it.
That's
not
right.
Really. So the challenge, you know, for a working, at least for me, my biggest challenge as a working mom is to keep all the balls in the air. And as our kids are getting older, there are more balls in the air and just trying to manage all that. And so I think the biggest thing that has helped us is communication, over communicating, looking, you know, a day ahead and how are we going to do this day? How are we going to get all these kids to their different activities? Who can do what? Looking a week ahead. Hey, what does your week look like? What does my week look like? Where do we have flexibility? Sick kids stresses me out to no end as a working mom because it's hard to find either my day to cancel or who's going to watch our kids. Thankfully, we have grandparents in town, but that's not always an option. And so, you know, having a kid thrown up at 3 a.m. and then trying to figure out who's going to watch your kid the next day, super stressful. So we've kind of come up with, like, what are some sick day strategies? What can we do before it's 3 a.m. and a kid comes down sick? So those are just kind of things that we've tried that have been helpful.
And so the other thing that we've done is we've lived in the context of trust. So just this next quick slide that you throw up, if you would. This is the army that it takes to pull off the offense today. Like, those people are involved in our lives. Like, right now, we're here. Grandma's watching the kids for us while we're up here on stage. But the transferable is, I can't give you two sets of grandparents that live in the same town with you. I mean, there's a lot of logistics that go in there. But the transferable I can give you is we trust everyone that is trusted, right? And so when we have a community group member who has a trusted babysitter, we trust them. I don't need to personally interview them. I don't need to re-go through the process. We don't need to have a trial run. Like, if you trust them, I will trust them. If we have a set of friends that are just great human beings, they are they're believers, they're on staff at Watermark or whatever it is, and they have children that are teenagers, and we have a conversation with their teenager or them about their teenager, and they're like, yeah, they're great. Guess what? We now trust this random 16-year-old that we have never met to watch our kids. And so, generally speaking, we have to be that way in order for our offense to run. And so I would encourage you, find people that you trust and trust the people that they trust inside of that process. And so that looks like neighbors, it looks like communities, it looks like nannies for summertime activities. It's high schoolers of adults. It is young adults that run around here at Watermark. We'll snag those folks too inside of the mix. It takes a lot to run the offense in that respect.
And, you know, sometimes those balls will fall and we can't do it all. And sometimes our kids don't go to soccer practice. And so we just kind of had to learn, I think, the last year or two, just it is okay if a kid misses a practice or a rehearsal occasionally, especially when Mike's out of town. That's usually when those balls are not always in the air. And kind of like the verse that I love and I go back to is Isaiah 26:3. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. And I think just like God is sovereign in all of this and he will give me peace despite the crazy that ensues in my house.
And then in mutual submission, as it talks about in Philippians, we use the flexibility that our respective work situations offer. We use that on the behalf of the family, right? That is something that we extend, that we try to extend. When that flexibility is offered, when we can have that conversation with our boss, that is something that we extend to our spouse and to our family to make the game and the offense to work. And so that is us. Over to the Douthits.
Thank you.
Yes, the one with the weird last name. We are the Douthits, but Jeff and Dana. And we have four children, you see up there, all the way from 12. The twins are 9, and our youngest is 6. And so we've been here at Watermark for 15 years, married about 15 years. And so we're a dual-income family as well. So I'm a police officer, and she works for Gartner. She has that long title that I can't say.
And maybe not tell you what I do either, but
yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, I can't. But I know she works hard. That's what I know. So...
Points for Jeff.
Yeah. So we want to know our limits, right? And this is an ongoing struggle for us, and we're always trying to figure out what that is. Sometimes we do this well, and sometimes we don't. I think the only way that you can find your limits is you might have to push them. You might have to pull back and say, okay, that's too much. And, you know, just an example the other day, my wife said, hey, we have this dinner thing. And I said, I've got too much going on. I can't do it. I was ready for an argument. I was ready. And she said, okay, that's fine. And I said, oh, okay, good.
Because growth.
I was ready for the argument.
Growth.
But I'm limited a lot quicker than she is. She can handle so much more than me. And limits are a gift, though. It's where you know that you're not going to go too far, right? These are, you know, one thing I've learned, boundaries are good. Limits are good. And these are a gift. But a couple things you want to keep on the forefront of your mind is you want to remember what matters, right? What matters to you and your family? And number two is, what is the present need in your life right now? Sometimes that changes from stage to stage. So a verse that we really like in our family is Nehemiah 4:13-14, and I'll read it. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. And obviously, as a police officer, I love that verse right there. A little bit of warrior action. But we are called to be a police family, right? It's not dad's a police officer and you guys are just along for the ride. One day, my wife kind of just told me, you know, she had listened to something and that kind of, we're in this together. We are a police family. That really stuck with us. And so I'm not running this way and pulling them behind. Like, we are in this together. We are a police family. And so they are very much affected by my career, right? And one of the things when we talk about what matters is, what do we want our kids to know? One thing that Dana kind of has her own mantra, but I have a mantra for the kids. When they leave for school or they leave, I will always say to them, trust Jesus, love each other, and then they say back to me, protect each other. And so it's something that I really enjoy, is say, hey, this is what matters to dad. This is what matters to us. And it's hopefully something they remember, you know, when I'm 80 years old and they're like, remember when dad always used to say this to us? And hopefully it resonates with them about what matters to dad and what matters to our family. As a police family, our kids are very adaptable. You know, they've become this way. There's a lot of times when I'm doing bedtime and they'll say to me, hey, Dad, am I going to see you tomorrow? And I go, no, not tomorrow, but the next time. You know, next day at this time, you'll see me. And so they're always kind of wondering. They have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring, right? Even in all the schedules they have, they always want to know, am I seeing you tomorrow? Okay, no, you won't see me tomorrow. Or, yeah, you'll see me in the morning, but not at night. And so it's made them very adaptable and flexible. And then sometimes I have to work holidays and nights and weekends. And my off days are other people's work days. And my work days are other people's off days. So not only has it made them more adaptable, it's made them more understanding. I think, you know, when I miss games, when I miss things, they understand that I have a career and that I have a job to do. So, and then what is the need? I have to remember what Dana's limitations are. It could be easy for me to see something really awful at work. I mean, absolutely awful. But I still need to come home and think that her day was worse, right? Sometimes it's easier for me to think about bullets flying than, like, wiping butts. Like, that's more stressful than the other thing. And so it's easy for me to think that my day was harder, right, because of some of the stuff I have to deal with. But also, when I come home from work, and it's been a hard day for me, and it's been a really hard day for her, and the kids' activities are crazy, the house may be insane. And my expectation might be like, I wish that the house was clean. I wish that this was happening. But you know what? We're going to relax, and the house is going to still stay dirty. I have to change kind of how, what's ideal, right? And my wife might go, hey, it's grab bag dinner tonight. Every man, woman, and kid for themselves, right? And it works for me. I love bagel bites, so I don't mind, right? But yeah, I know, right? We need bagel bites, by the way.
I know we do.
But
a lot of grab bag.
Let me make
this
a
week.
Note real quick. Yeah. But that is something that we've kind of had to learn to deal with, and I think it was always hard for Dana when the house was dirty and she went to bed. Now it's like, we'll figure it out tomorrow, right? Yeah. We just have to adapt, and that's our life.
Yeah. And so kind of practically how that plays out, we do a lot of evaluations at our house and kind of say what's working, what's not working, what does thriving look like for our family, which is very different. Even as you guys are hearing from the three of us, you know, we are a little bit more type B on these things. And so a messy house doesn't really rattle us the same, but there are other things. So I think it's just important to note that we're all very different, and you all are all very different. And so what works for some doesn't work for others. And so we also have on the notes that you guys will be able to look at a decision-making guide. And really, it's good for anybody, even if you're not thinking about work and just how you think about your family and how your family's doing. So I really encourage you to refer to that. But we use that very informally on Sunday nights. We're usually like, okay, what's happening this week? And that's kind of when he was like, I can't go to this dinner. And looking at Monday, I was like, I can see why you can't go to that dinner. It's a crazy day, but I have to go to it. So that's kind of how we will spitball and go through what will work. But one of the things, or one of my favorite verses, Psalm 16:6, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, a beautiful inheritance. This one is so important to own, I think, as a working mom, family here in Dallas, because it's easy to look to our left or right and think, I wish I had more, my limits were higher like hers, or I wish I had grandparents that didn't still work full time so they could help. And really, you have to just go with what's true and what God has put before you. And it helps in seeing the joy and laughing at the mess sometimes, or the amount of nights that we did not make dinner, because this is what God chose for us. We are the parents he picked for our four kids, and God knew who we were in the process. And so that's a really important thing just to remember. And, you know, with that, we are really big, just kind of as our second point on, we're really big on hobbies and just making room for the individual that you are within your marriage still. So, you know, we are one in marriage, our family is one, but they're full of individuals. So just kind of celebrating those things. So we're very big on hobbies, friendships, time away, things that rejuvenate us, but celebrating those within our children and our family together. So we really recommend those to everybody. And just kind of wrapping up limits for us, talking about that, we recently had a major season of craziness, and I would say our limits being pushed like crazy. So it's funny when we got assigned to talk about this. But I had been applying for a couple different roles in my company that involved a lot more than my current job is. But what I was really focused on was the dollar amount that I would be making, and kept trying to make that work. I was like, no, it'll work, it'll work, it'll work. And that role did not work out. And I'm now on a new one. And now, seeing it, I'm like, I had no business applying for that role because of our limitations of this season and the fact that his job is very inflexible. I have to still remain the flexible parent. And so I'm so thankful that the Lord put limitations in play when I was trying to ignore them, because it's just worked out so much better. And you know, money is definitely not everything. It would have been crazy. So that's some limitation talk for us there.
I'm Tommy McCrory, and this is my wonderful wife, Meg. And we have been here at Watermark. Well, she's been here much longer because she was here as a singles. But we've been here for a little over 8 years together. We've been married for almost 10 in March, and we have three kids. You can see up on the screen there. But we just want you all to know that it's hard. It's hard navigating if you have both parents working at home, and that there's challenges to that. And we can sit up here and share lots of things of things that we've found successes in. But I think we could honestly share a lot more places where we've failed. And just want you guys to know that it's okay that you experience bumps as you're just discerning how to be parents and be an employee and be a friend and all the things that go into just life. So as y'all are hearing these things, we just want you to know that you're not alone. And I'm encouraged as I hear these other parents get to share and what the rhythms are for their lives as well. So some of the factors at play for us here, for Meg and I, is we both are called vocationally to our specific roles and jobs. My wife works for a nonprofit here and does development for them, and I am a high school principal for a local private school in the area. And we just both feel that God has put on our hearts to work in that. And because of that and the cost of living in Dallas, we all know that it's expensive here and it's increasingly more expensive. We both work, and that drives us to really have to be efficient with the things that we do and discern through what our seasons are. And our ability to do that is derived from having a goal and knowing where we're going and being able to assess that as we walk through different stages of life. So we just added our third kid, and Tucker is just over one, and that's been one of the most challenging things for us in our marriage, is adding that third kid and going into zone defense, and it's really a large sacrifice for ourselves individually, and just, it's been a big challenge for us to continue to learn what it's like to be married and do that well and both work and want our kids to flourish and be faithful friends and live in community and walk authentically. And so we have a goal of wanting to glorify God in every aspect of our lives, and Colossians 3:23 really speaks to that, of just whatever you do, work at it as if you are pursuing the Lord and not working for men. And that really drives our focus and helps us to be fully unleashed in the things that God has called us to and the things that we are passionate about. And the way that we are able to make that work is by pursuing healthy relationships. So our own relationship with the Lord, our relationship with each other, and then having pillars of relationships around us. So be that our community that we're involved in or outlets that we have. My family lives here. Meg's family doesn't, but we have a really big goal to hit a quality of time when Meg's family is around.
And so the quantity is low.
Yes, when that quantity is low because they live in another state, when we get to see them, we really want to maximize that time with them. And so as we try to pursue healthy relationships, we also want and have a desire to disciple our children well. And that comes from, we read a book a long time ago that was Family Discipleship, and it really helped us to begin to navigate. It's by a local pastor named Adam Griffin. And it was really helpful for us to create kind of a vision for us to have that goal towards that. And so as we shepherd our children, as McCrorys, we want, the call is to train our children up in the way they should go by equipping, training, admonishing, and encouraging them through life. And we've grounded that in Proverbs 22:6. And so some of the keys for how we make this work that I'll share, and then Meg will share on the challenges of this, is for all of this to work, we have to personally abide in Christ. None of this works if we start and end with, whatever our personal desires are, we have to start by abiding in Christ. And so that is our driving force and what helps us to move each day. But I will tell you, there are days where that is not our motivation and we feel like we fail and we feel like we have to ask for forgiveness to each other, to our kids. There's nothing more humbling than having to ask your kid for forgiveness. And so that's just really been something that we really feel like is important for us. And then we need constant and clear communication. You've probably heard that theme of just communication from Robin all the way down the line is really what helps when you have two working parents to really function. And for us in particular, we do weekly questions on Sundays. It sounds like there's maybe a Sunday theme to start the week, but we just have five regular questions that we ask each other. And then in certain seasons, we recognize that we may have to actually be talking about those things more regularly than just Sunday. And we're in one of those now. We kind of learned that when the third kid came along and felt that some of the hard ways. But as we communicate clearly, we've begun to establish rhythms and how we want to disciple our kids. And one of those rhythms is praying together with them, praying together as a couple. And one of the rhythms and habits that we want our kids to know is that they are loved by us and that love never changes for them. And that as much as we love our kids, Christ loves them infinitely more. And so when we're putting them down to bed at night, we have a little saying that we do with them. And so we'll ask them, how much does mommy and daddy love you? And then they respond with so much. And then the next question is, does mommy and daddy's love for you change? And they say no. And then the last one is, who loves you more? And then they're supposed to respond with Jesus. And then we'll say, that's right, and rest in his love. And then it's kind of a good night thing for them. We're in a little bit of a season where our middle one wants to be tickled to get to say the last answer. So it's a little bit of coaxing strategies right now. And there are times where we try to say that and they're just totally off in their own little world and they're wanting to play with their dolls or whatever it is. So it like the intention is there and the habit comes. The heart will follow if you continue to press with the habit. You can't train the heart without there being a habit. And so you have to pursue that first and be willing to put in the hard work to have that habit.
See Justin Early's book.
Yes, yes, who you'll hear from later. So, and then at the end of that, reach out when you need help. There's nothing worse than feeling isolated in the hardships of what is happening with being a parent and feeling alone. And when you begin to sense that and feel that, reach out. Talk to your community group, to friends, anybody you know that is in a similar situation that can point you back to Christ, but two, give you the opportunity to just be heard and feel the emotions with you of just how hard it is sometimes to be a parent. So
that's good. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about the challenges. I think for us, it is, and the Lord knew, like this would be the topic that we would discuss because we have just come out of this really hard, really wonderful season. It's the good and the hard together, right? Many, many times. But just this idea of discerning whether our family is thriving. Dana mentioned it, and we'll show you guys just this decision-making guide. And it really, that's the whole theme, is your family thriving? And we have come out of a season where we would argue that I'm thriving in my job, Tommy's thriving in his, our daughter's thriving at school, but our finances are not thriving. And going, okay, Lord, like, what do we do in that? And just praying through that and saying, okay, what needs to change? What needs to shift? How do we think about this? And just be open-handed with each season and what the Lord is guiding us in. And that has had to start with prayer. I mean, truly, that's so simple and cliche. I've been in your seat where you roll your eyes and go, I know, we already know that. Like, these, we don't have fancy tips and tricks. Like, it truly is back to the basics and just asking God, like, truly, Lord, like, everything's on the table. I love my job at If Gathering. I don't want to give that up, but I'm laying that on the table and going, this is, I feel called, like, I can give you all the reasons why I don't want to do that, but I'm saying yes, Lord, because I don't want that to be an idol. Tommy would be the same, and those have been very hard conversations, but saying, hey, we will be open. Same thing with our kids' school, just being really open of, okay, like, there's no idols here. Like, everything is God's, and so we just want to be open to what he would have. And then just waiting on God. Like, we have had to do that, and sometimes there's longer seasons of that, but just being willing to wait and to sit in the tensions of we don't know yet. And we can jump into action and make a plan, but we don't want to go without the Lord. Like, that doesn't go well. See the Bible. Like, just to go, it is worth following him and being obedient to him and waiting on him and to know, like, there is blessing that will come even if we can't see it today, and just trusting that he will make a way. And often that's when some miraculous things will happen. And then just seeking wise counsel. And yes, that's community. I would say it's other working moms. Like, I will audio text Dana and I'm like, hey, we have this thing. Like, gosh, I don't know what to do here. And she's like, oh, girl, we've been there, because she's got kids in elementary and we're just starting that in kinder. And so it is such a gift of families or moms or others that are in the same situation that are working, so that dynamics can look a little different sometimes. And just going, hey, look around at the people in this room, certainly Woven, which we'll talk about in a minute. Like, hey, who are people that are going to point you to the Lord, that maybe have some experience that aligns with what scripture would call us to? And that just points to Psalm 16:11. Like, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And just stepping back and going, okay, I'm sitting in this tension. I can choose to compare or to others and my friends that it looks like their life is easier. They don't have to deal with this. Woe is me that I'm a working mom and this, I have this heavier load. And just to feel that and to go, wait, but actually that's not true. Like, Lord, you have told me that you've made known to me the path of life, that there's fullness of joy in your presence. And so am I living in that, or am I focused on what I don't have versus what you've given and what you say you have for us in the future? So that has just been a really key verse, and there's no coincidence. Dana and I both pointed to that. And then Romans 15, may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Just again, that idea of, okay, the Spirit is with us. He lives inside of us. He will speak. He will. Sometimes that's through others. Sometimes that's his words. Sometimes it is through just prayer and just listening, and just constantly going, okay, Lord, like, give me eyes to see, give me ears to hear, because we run really fast. But may that never be an excuse for us to not hear your voice and to go, when do we need to slow down? And sometimes we don't always know that, but just go, God, show us and give us wisdom of when we need to slow that down. So I just want to talk, Joshua 1:9 is so, so good too, of be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you everywhere you go. And just that rest of, hey, we may be in a really taxing season, and that doesn't always mean that it's wrong. Like, us both working, isn't that the relief would be, oh, well, what if Meg just stays home? Like, that's not always the right answer. And so, again, I would point you to that decision guide and that conversation that's regularly being had of going, what are some other levers we can pull? Sometimes it's not like taking something off the plate. It's like, sometimes it's just tweaking it and going, could we ask for help here? Could we shift this here? Just some simple changes, but just being open and going, hey, Lord, what do those need to be? And let's step back and assess, and when we need to slow down or we need to shift because we're not thriving as a family. And so I just want to speak real quickly to Woven. This is a new ministry at Watermark. Some of you all have gotten to come. We've done some panels at the Collective and been on the Collective podcast. You can see all of that on the website. But this really started with a vision that God put in Dana's heart and just many other working moms here at the church, just going, how do we formalize this to be a ministry where every woman in Watermark feels seen? And so, as we know, with economics, so many things, there are more women going back into the workforce than ever before. I think the Square One stat was like 80% of those new moms are going back to work. And so this is no longer just taboo. Like, this is just the reality. And so how do we support working moms at Watermark? And so we want to provide connections. We want to provide tools, equipping tools. And really the vision behind that is that that every woman, working moms included, would be woven into the body of Christ. And so this is not going to be a weekly ministry. We exist through our Facebook page, which if you're not a part of it, join it. We'll accept you. Join the page. We're doing just some different events. We're doing a Nested Night event in January. We're going to do just a specific woven event in April. So more to come on that. But join that Facebook page. And then we also have our email that is available. And send us an email. We have a team that checks that. Lindsay Groves in the back. She's one of those people. Wave your hand, Lindsay. Like, there's just a host of moms that are on the leadership team that are checking that email. And we would love to meet up for coffee. We would love to get to connect with you so that you don't feel alone. I would think these husbands would be happy to connect with your husbands too, just to know, like, hey, there is a way to glorify the Lord, to love your spouse, to see your kids thriving. Even though it can feel impossible, gosh, you're not alone. And we know the Lord gives us one another to be able to connect. So that would be our encouragement on Seasons.
Now we're going to go into our Q&A. If you haven't sent any questions and you have some, here's the number to text, and you can see the couple's names if you have a specific question for a couple. And why don't we just keep it to like one or two answers, just because we have quite a bit. How do you balance kids' sports, family time, and keeping God a priority?
Okay. Well, the reason we are only speaking and not attending this full conference today is because of that. It kind of, like Jeff said, for us, like learning your limits. We last spring were like, whoa, we can't do that again. So we kind of had to say, like, look at our kids. We're really big. We're not like a In our family, you only get two things. Each kid is very different, and that's how our children are. One of our twins has a very low capacity, and one of our twins has a very high capacity. So he does more things than she does, and she's okay with that because we talk about how she needs way more time with her parents. She's a big shoulder-to-shoulder kid. So for us, it's mostly been learned through trial and error. And also what we can take on. And so kind of like what Marisa was saying, how she has to assume she'll do a lot of things solo. That is how we are with me. And so sometimes he'll be like, I really want, you know, the boys to do this. And I'm like, cool, when will I be able to do that? And so that may change our priorities. And so we have some things that are always yeses. We highly value that our newly middle schooler always makes small groups. So we made her dance schedule around that because we want the precedent for her to be like, yes, you have a million activities and so do your friends, but we value church on Sundays. We value middle school, or we value your small group. We value our small group. So our kids have to see that as well with our community group. And it is a constant, like, are we practicing what we're preaching? Because that is a big thing that I'm like, okay, if we say we value this, do they see that? Do you want
to add anything? Yeah. And for all our people out there who are really regimented, like me, I mean, this is the time for practice, this and this. Just the other day I said, hey, did Steele go to jiu-jitsu? And she said no. And normally I'd be like, why didn't he go? Like, we're paying for this, and he's not going to get any better. And, you know, but I thought, okay, life's crazy. We just need to make sure he goes next week, okay? And then, you know, so that is something I've had to grow in a lot is as they, well, I want them to get better. I want them to enjoy the sports they do. If they have to miss, I need to be really understanding about that, okay? So I think that's something we've really grown in.
Okay, next question. How do you create capacity, mental and time, to really invest in kids' lives beyond the survival basics?
So I would say having drive time with my kids has been really helpful, especially as they move to the front seat. And there's just been a lot of good conversation, like especially with my older two kiddos. I feel like we also try to do, like, take a kid to get dessert or take a kid to a movie or plan, like if Mike's with some of the kids, I'm with the other kids. So it's kind of in the chaos that is already there, when can I find pockets of time to pull them? Also trips to Target with just one kid or taking one kid to the grocery store with me, although that's hard for me because I want my away time, it is beneficial for them, and I have to remind myself that, like, this is a good thing for them. Because I remember with my mom would do that. I'm the oldest of four, and that's what my mom did too. So I was like, I remember how impactful that was. And so just allowing them to invade on my space.
And I would just say, when I have that time, like, eye contact, I'm at their level. My phone is put away. That's why I have a watch. Like, if there's something urgent, it's right here. But just how do I maximize that time at bedtime? We pull our girls share room. We pull them apart, and we each read to them separately so they get that one-on-one time with us, and not cutting that short, which is so tempting. Sometimes we're reading a book and my eyes are closed. But just going, okay, wait, no. Like, this is that quality time that is so important for them to have that tender time and connect. So when I have the time to maximize it as much as possible, to pray with them, to ask questions, and just make the most of the time that we do have, because they're lower quantity, but how do we make it really quality?
And if you haven't gotten the Drive Time app, Watermark will send you a question or two to follow up what your child learned on Sunday mornings, and use that. I called it Feed My Heart. There was a certain part on the tollway, and my kids would be like, Feed My Heart. And I would ask the question or read the verse, and it was just Drive Time. As a matter of fact, Rhett accepted Christ on Feed My Heart, literally underneath the tollway. Riley was sharing, okay, pray with me. And so, I mean, it can be intentional. Drive Time is fabulous with that. How do you divide up household tasks and touch base on how to tweak those depending on the season? I'm going to jump in real quick and share a couple of Rice household tasks. We just came up with little ways to make it easy around the house. So one is after dinner. We had three kids, so you had walk, the person that walked everything to the kitchen. You had wipe, that person wiped down everything and packed up any leftovers, and then you had wash. And believe me, they kept up with who did what. You know, like, you washed, I washed last time, I'm wiping. And they would just monitor it, and Robbie and I could sit back, and dinner was done after I cooked it and put it on the table. The other thing we did is when we moved into our home, and I was working full-time, I looked at Robbie Rice, and I said, I need help. I need a housekeeper. I cannot do this. Our Saturdays were us cleaning the house all together, and we had a system, and we did it, but it wasn't fun. It was like, this is my day off, and I am cleaning my house. I want to be in the gym. I want to go do something. So see what season works well. We decided for us, it was every other week, that we had a housekeeper, and that blessed me. And we haven't let her go. Any other tips?
Ditto on the housekeeper. And then the only thing we would add is the kids have chores. I mean, just six-year-olds can do productive things like fold laundry. I mean, we've got a chore chart on the chalkboard, again, systems, right? I mean, there's a chalkboard. Everybody's got their tasks for the week that are on there. They're on their responsibility. I mean, it's my six-year-old is vacuuming carpet, right? I mean, that's his job. The four-year-old is running around the house with the trash cans, dumping the trash cans into the big trash can, right? I mean, so the family is working in that regard. The 12-year-old, like, she's doing laundry. Like, you keep the cycling of the laundry, that's 16 loads or whatever it takes us on Sunday to get through all of the laundry in her house. She's responsible for moving it from, you know, everybody's got to bring all their clothes downstairs, but she's cycling that through the laundry even at 12. And so use the kids in particular as they age.
And if you haven't read Cleaning House by Kay Wima, it's a breakout. Grab the book, read it. It breaks entitlement in your kids. We did it in the Rice household one summer, halfway through the summer. Rhett was like, where's that book? I want to burn it. Because it was putting responsibilities, and it's great. My kids are now grown and gone, and they know how to basically run a house and do it well. So grab her book. Okay, next, how do you handle the guilt of not being able to do all as a working mom? How How do you handle the guilt?
I have very different personalities within my kids, who some do well, some will probably be in therapy about how I wasn't at stuff. And I've kind of learned that that is just who they are to some degree. But we really harness, kind of like the Frizzell said, our trust circle to be there with our kids. It, like, even our dear friends in our neighborhood, I am like, it's so fun that you get to be a bonus child with ex friend today at the pumpkin party because I can't be there. My uncle has come up for stuff. My parents have come up for things. We are like, let's harness the people that love you. And so you get a huge army of people to be a part of your life, not just dad and I doing all the traditional things. So that's been a big part, even like my mindset of turning it to be like, how fun that all these people get to love my kids and be very intentional in their lives. Especially with like small group leaders as they start to be more involved here at Watermark even. But that's a big thing for us.
Yeah, I think just talking about it too, it's the get out of your head, right? Like see Jenny Yellen's book. But just going, hey, what is true and how am I taking my thoughts captive and making those obedient to Christ? Because it all starts with lies and doubts in our head of, we all know them. They're all probably the same because the enemy doesn't have creative strategies. But going, I'm not a slave to that. And so I can, if I say that out loud, I mean, I've done that literally audio text today now, or who's a friend that you can text or your community group and going, hey, I'm sitting in this right now. And I've done that. And I've been the only one working in our community group too. But they know and they can love me and remind me of what is true. Because at the heart, our desires are the same. And no matter how we're working and what that looks like, all moms are working moms, but working outside the home, it's easy to feel terminally unique of like, I'm sitting in this junk. But they can speak truth in really beautiful ways and not restricting that because we're more alike than we are different. But yes, that it is okay. And y'all talked about the adaptability earlier. And I think that's huge. Like it's okay for a kid to go, yeah, like I can't be there. But it is going to help them just be adaptable humans instead of seeing it of like a weakness. I'm failing my child. Maybe that's actually a strength and that's helping them just to develop perseverance and courage, and specifically for young girls of going, that's important for them to learn at a young age and to know that their love, mommy and daddy's love for you doesn't change. Jesus's love for you doesn't change. Like what really matters. And if you have to miss the play date because I can't get off work for that thing, that happens. And I grieve that. It makes me sad, but I'm going to be okay. And she's going to be okay at the end of the day. If there's not a way to work around it.
The only one thing I'll add is, men, this is where we get to get in the game of our wife's mental space, right? It's our job. If she's feeling guilty that she's a mom or whatever it is inside of that space, like, get in there. Like, you got to interrupt the mental loop that's inside of there. You know who your wife is. Speak that into her life and overcome that, right? You have some logic and reason that you can play inside of this. But start being an encourager in that space and help relieve the guilt by having that external voice come through the ears in addition to their voice track.
So good. I'm going to put these together. How do you communicate well with your spouse while you're learning new limits in new seasons? But along with that, what if the roles are reversed and the wife's role is more rigid and the husband's job is more flexible? Any advice for navigating that capacity with it?
I think this has been trial and error for us because my job really is pretty, like, I can't just go leave in the middle of the day necessarily without impacting a lot of other families. It's a hard thing. And I felt like at first I couldn't ask Mike to go pick up a sick kid or to stay home with a kid. And I think we've just had to really grow in talking about it because I would carry the burden and the stress of like the fallout of having somebody that had his home from school or whatever it is, you know, that I felt like that was my burden to carry. But I feel like really probably in the last year and a half, we've taken a lot of ground of just talking about it and me telling him, like, this is stressing me out. I need you to help me figure out how we're going to do this and mitigate this.
The only thing I would add was seasons. Life is seasons. Your job changes over time. Your responsibilities change over time. And so whatever it is you're currently in the thick of that seems like super hard, just know that as your responsibility grows, your freedoms change, right, inside of your employment situation. As your job goes from being an engineer in McKinney to being on staff at Watermark, for example, I had a very different boss and his opinion about the family work-life balance. And then I went back into industry again, and it's like, okay, right, what does this now look like? And so just to the season's point, like allow yourself to be in a season that it's hard, and then, you know, do what you can to work your way, change it, having those conversations with boss, changing responsibilities, changing the strategy of the family, if you will, also.
Okay, Tommy's going to add to that, and then we have a question for Tommy.
Great. The only thing I want to add with that is I've currently just stepped into a role that has actually provided a little more flexibility. I was teaching, I'm now in administration, and so when you're teaching, you can't just up and leave, you've got kids, right? But as an administrator, I'm not responsible for the student in the room at the moment, and so I have a little more flexibility, and so I think as a husband, it's really important to understand what your flexibility actually is, and then utilize that flexibility for your marriage and see it as a blessing for your marriage, and to really step into that and know that yes, I'm leaving my job. Yes, there are things that still have to get done, but this is a win for us, and it's points for us on the board. And so it's not a detriment to me, but it really is a benefit to my marriage and to my kids that I can step out of what I'm doing and into help and whatever that is. And so it comes with just having a servant heart for others around you and starting with your spouse.
Okay, to Tommy, what are the 5 questions y'all ask each other on Sunday?
That's great. So our first question is, how did you feel most loved this last week? And so really practically answering those questions. And that can look like, hey, I felt loved in when you were navigating these things and stayed home with a sick kid or whatever that is. Or, hey, we were in a fight and you responded graciously to me and I felt very loved in that process. Or you let me go and play golf for 4 hours, which is a large time block with little kids at home. So little things like that to large significant things. Question 2 for us is, what is your schedule like for this week? So that's where we really do the logistic question. So we want a heart question and a marriage question. Then we want a logistics question that's in there. And then the third question is just, what does sex look like for this week? So we want that to be common conversation for us so it doesn't become taboo. And so that's just something, sometimes it's scheduled, sometimes it's not. And that's just a part of how we navigate as a couple. And the fourth one is, what can I do this coming week to love you? And what would, or to help you this week? And then the last one is, how can I be praying for you? And what is God teaching you? And so all of those questions give us a heart for our marriage, a practical for how to play it out, a connecting point physically for us, and then how are we spiritually connecting together and learning alongside each other. And so that's been really helpful for us. I think I did the math the other day. We've been married like 500 weeks because we're almost at 10 years. And there's probably only been 20 weeks that we haven't done those questions. But I can tell you wholeheartedly those 20 weeks have probably been some of our harder weeks because we just are not, we're not on the same page. And when we don't communicate well, that's when we often have fights. And so we have to really fight for that time. And there's times where I go in and it's, oh, we got to do all these questions again. But every time I come out of it, and every time we come out of it, we know, man, that was really fruitful, and that was really good for us to know these things and be prepared for what is to come.
One more thing. And sometimes, like, we're traveling, and that's the time we'll put on a movie and put their headphones on in the car, and we'll ask the questions in the car. Or we didn't get to it Sunday night because you had a thing and I had a thing, whatever. Then we'll do those on Monday night. But just really trying. It can even be 30 minutes, but it's just that 30 minutes is a payoff the rest of the week, and it is 100% worth the sacrifice. There will always be a sacrifice. Hey, I've got to go do whatever, but I'm making a choice. I'm saying yes to something, and I'm saying no to something. And so I want to say yes to us and our family, and I want to say no to something else because if I say it's more important, but I want to follow through and what I believe in that.
Okay, we weren't able to get to all the questions, but if you individually text it, we'll text you back a quick little answer in anything that you may have. I think one pattern you heard today is to take advantage of women and families, men that are ahead of you that have done it. You heard Dana share that, Meg share that. I did that when I started teaching. I looked around who taught well and also had a family, took her to lunch, asked 1,000 questions. And I remember coming home and going, okay, this is what Melanie does. Robbie, this is what Ron does. Do you think you can be Ron? And he was like, yeah, I can do Ron. And I was like, great, here we go. So, I mean, just ask around and see. Take advantage of us. We avail ourselves to you to say we would love to help you in this season. Some of y'all are new moms saying, I've never done this before. We would love to help you navigate that. Did we do it perfectly? No, but we did it with Jesus and God's word and each other and went through this process. So let me pray for us and we'll close our time. Lord, I thank you so much for just this breakout where we could talk about the challenges of working as a mom and also talk about just the ways that you have helped us through your word and through community and through our marriage to overcome that. And Lord, we thank you most of all for your gift of the Holy Spirit, that he enables us to do more than we can imagine and more than we can comprehend. And we commit all these words that were shared today to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.